Wow. How are y'all doing? Hope you're having a good week. Before I dive into the Word for a little bit, tomorrow night here at 6:30 we'll be having, technically it's called the District 11 Regional Prayer Meeting, but what that means is that believers from Lauderdale, Colbert, Lawrence, and Franklin counties are going to be coming together and praying, and Brother James Nesbitt and a whole bunch of musicians will be up here releasing sound and prayer, and we'll be joining in them. But it's specifically aimed for God's purposes and plans for our region. So we're contending to see the Tennessee Valley, the river of God flowing like that Tennessee River is, and His glory manifesting. Amen. So I encourage you, and if there's some of you that would be willing to come and around 6 o'clock and to help us do some greeting, like work the doors and everything, we need some help doing that. So if you can do that, if you'd let Mickey know afterwards, that would be very, very, very helpful. Okay? Tomorrow night at what time? 6:30. And I hope that the rest of you heard that too. I want to step into our series that we're doing, Prayer School 101, and we have looked at it's several messages and scriptures about prayer. And tonight I want to talk to you about prayer that changes lives. And I'm going to use a passage out of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's a fascinating passage, and I really want to keep this brief tonight because, again, I hope that we're going to be able to hear a few testimonies. I know Tina is back from Asbury. She was unable to be here last Wednesday night, so I'd like to hear a little bit about that. Anything else, the Lord? Even this weekend, I feel like there may be a couple of testimonies. We had wonderful services here on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It is Tuesday, right? Okay. This past weekend, we really had an overflow weekend, and I hope you're still surfing on it. The Lord is so good, but we'll step into some of those testimonies hopefully in just a few minutes. But let's look at the scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read the first four verses. Paul, writing to young Timothy, probably in the area of Ephesus, he said, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Good stuff follows that, but we're going to camp here for a few minutes on this Wednesday night. First of all, I want to talk about what this tells us, that one of the things, or a few things, that praying this way will do. Notice the causal phrase there after he talks about he wants prayers to be made. He gives us four different types of prayers that need to be going out. He tells us how those prayers should be, who they should target. Men, kings, authority, and so forth. But then he tells us why. Notice, if you would, in the middle of verse 2, he said, "For kings and all who are in authority, that," in other words, everything that precedes that is telling what precedes that, telling what that is for. It's the causal phrase, that. In other words, why all this prayer? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so that's very, very important. And if we were just start tonight and say, why should you pray? There probably wouldn't be many people would say, well, one reason is we want to pray enough so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Right? I mean, but that's what this says. This is what Paul is saying. If believers are praying in this way, it creates an environment where we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And a lot of days we don't feel like we're able to lead anything. We're being driven by something, right? And probably the phrases that describe a lot of our days would not be quiet and peaceable. Now, interestingly, let me give you some background on some of these words. This word, quiet, eremos in the Greek, I love the way one of the word studies describes it. Undisturbed, quiet, free from outward disturbance, tranquil, without needless commotion or disturbances. I mean, does that bother you if you're without needless commotion and disturbances? I mean, that purpose behind believers praying, that we can see a falling away of the these needless disturbances and commotions that are constantly created around us. Do you think a lot of those are generated and caused by the Holy Spirit anyway? Now, I'm not saying he can't stir things up, but this is the idea of needless disturbances. There's some needful disturbances. Some people need to, quote, be disturbed, end quote, in a good way. Shaken up. Sometimes when I share my testimony, I use that verse out of the book of Job. When I was at ease, he has taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. So sometimes we need that kind of shaking. But here, he's talking about the needless disturbances and commotions that are generated around us because of strife and sin and selfishness and so forth. And so, quiet, tranquil. People spend big bucks to step outside their everyday life and go to the mountains. 3 or 4 years ago, we got to go see the Grand Tetons when Elliot was living out in Jackson Hole. And we got to go through Yellowstone. And I mean, it's breathtaking. Just, wow. You know, how majestic is our Creator. But people like to get away, to have a little of this. But we could have a lot more of it if believers prayed more, that we may lead a quiet. And this word peaceable, also beautiful word, it means steady, settled, due to a divinely inspired inner calmness. A lot of times it's not all that needless commotion going on around us, it's all that commotion and disturbance going on within us. You know, it all may be quiet in your backyard and the birds are singing. It's just beautiful. The sun's shining. The flowers are blooming. But there's a storm on the inside. Peaceable. Prayer impacts and affects that. Creates an environment around us and within us that we can live a quiet and a peaceable life. I like the way that one word study translated this word peaceable. It means to be appropriately tranquil by not misusing or overusing words that would stir up needless friction. Do words sometimes stir up needless friction? But peaceable. That inner calmness, that steadiness, spirit, divinely inspired steadiness. Though the old man want to climb out of that grave and say some stuff, the spirit man's strong and he just kicks him back in there and lets that peace prevail. If Jesus being in the boat can calm the storm, well, I remind you, Jesus lives in you. So we can see the storms calmed inside our lives. So that we may live a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. The word godliness there means having the inner response to the things of God, which shows itself in godly piety. That's an old word we don't hear much today, but a godly heart response. You respond as if God, you're allowing God through the Spirit to respond in you, to live a godly life, to manifest God in our decisions, in our conduct, in our character, and so forth. Reverence here, again, is not a word we hear as much, even as I did when I was little, but to reverence is, it reflects what has been transformed by God and exhibits moral and spiritual gravity or gravitas. Again, it's godliness, it's purity, it's the inner, all of this put together is a picture of a person in whom Jesus is ruling and reigning, who knows who they are, and does not allow wrong attitudes, old attitudes, to control them, neither the things going on around them. Our lives are to be led by the Holy Spirit. And for us to lead a quiet and peaceful life, then we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so, again, Paul is saying that prayer impacts this impacts and enables us to live this kind of life more fully. So notice also that he says, why? Why should we want to lead a quiet and peaceable life? Because that's a whole lot about me. That's a whole lot about us. What about people that don't know the Lord? Then he says that we do that. We live that. He goes on to say, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When you put all this together and in its totality, then what you see is that it enables us to live a quiet and peaceable life, so that when we have opportunity to be around people that don't know the Lord, we're not having our buttons pushed and our breakers tripped and getting in the flesh or joining them in what they're doing. We're exhibiting the Lord. And they're attracted to that. That he said that who the Lord desires all men to be saved. Now he said, pray for all men up in verse 1. And then here in verse 4, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The goal of us living the Christ life in this way is so that it influences people who do not know Him to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is good and pleasing to God our Savior. We don't win people to Jesus by twisting their arm. We don't win people to Jesus by having superior argumentative skills. A man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. You may win the argument, but not win a soul. Sometimes, not winning an argument, not responding, not lashing back, rising up, you know, sometimes not rebuking, but resting. Not being needlessly disturbed. Not needlessly stepping into the commotion. Listen, there's plenty of people that'll come by that'll invite you into the middle of their storm. And it's kind of like getting out in the water when that undertow is taking place, that if you get in it long enough, it'll suck you into it. And then sometimes you can just be around that and you'll start feeling strife internally. And yet, the goal is to live a quiet and peaceable life. So, whatever the devil's selling out there, I'm here tonight to tell you, we're offering something better. No matter what people are telling you about how much they don't want Jesus or anything to do with Jesus, deep inside of them, there is a yearning and there is a longing and a desire. Eternity is in their heart in there, and it desires fullness and meaning and purpose. And it cannot be found apart from a relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people need to be saved and come to the knowledge of what is true. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So our prayers, when I see this, our prayers create a climate and environment that enables us to see more people come into the Lord. Our having more influence on the world. We must be like Jesus if we're going to see the world change, because He's the only one that can change it. Now, there are four types of praying that are mentioned here. And the first is supplication. I've mentioned this before when we were in Philippians chapter 4. But this has to do with when you're praying with a deep, heartfelt need. And you're supplicating before the Lord. And you're needing something supplied in your life or in your family or your situation. And it's like a burden that you're bearing. You're going before the Lord and you're really coming before Him and asking Him to move and work in that situation. And then we're told that not only supplications, but prayers. This is the word prosuke. It's the general word for prayer. And often in that day and in the biblical language, this word would not only refer to the practice of prayer, but even the place of prayer. I mean, there were places that was known as, hey, this is a place where people pray. You remember when Paul in the book of Acts, he went to Lydia and the group that was down by the river, because that's where they met to pray. We all need a place. We know that's where I pray. So it's a general word for prayer. And what's beautiful, like in a marriage, you know, my wife and I have different kinds of conversations. You know, some of our conversations is we just enjoy just talking about the day, what's going on in our life. And we're enjoying one another's company. Some conversation is more informative. I'm asking her about something. You know, you're the counselor. Tell me about this. Or she's asking me about something. Well, I'm in Ezekiel this morning. What do you think this means? And through that exchange, we receive something that benefits and edifies us. Sometimes our conversations involve someone else, maybe our children. And we're talking about our children or a need in a child's life or something that we're rejoicing about. But it has to do with someone else. And then there's that place just for intimacy, you know, where we're talking about things, and I'm not going to tell you about what we're talking about. And so in our relationship with the Lord, there's different kinds of prayers. Sometimes we just enjoy being with Him. Sometimes it's can be very intimate, where we're just unveiling our heart before Him and just being raw and real and authentic and saying, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, and I need You to help me. And then there's times we go before Him, Lord, I'm coming for my children or my friends or this situation. And sometimes we're going, Lord, I'm coming for You in supplication. I have this specific situation. I need You to move and work in this. Sometimes as you go before the Lord, Lord, you know, open my heart that I can see. I'm needing understanding about this. So prayer can vary. There's not just like one way. We should learn to pray in a lot of different ways. But if you think about it more conversationally and how you relate to, say, your best friend or your spouse, someone you really love, then but you know, He is the highest authority. He's the God of the universe, and yet He's our Abba Father. He's our Savior, our Comforter, our friend, and so He's that and so much more. And so prayers are the way we do intercessions. This is a beautiful word, and there's different nuances of it, but the particular word here for intercession has the idea of hitting the mark, striking the mark. It's the word enyuxis. It means like approaching a king, making a petition, you know, to like a higher authority. It's intervention led by God, marking intersection between heaven and earth as it reflects the Lord's specific will. And the root of this term means to strike, to hit the bull's eye. You know, when we're studying in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the mark of God. We've all heard that taught, that it's like aiming at a bullseye and the arrow is headed toward the bullseye and it just falls short. Even our best efforts, we fall short. That's the word that is the antithesis of the word intercession. Intercession means to strike the mark. Bingo, bullseye. In other words, to know what God's will is for a person or a situation and then hit the bullseye with that prayer. Shooting those arrows, if you will. Striking the mark. Now, in context here, the Lord who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, one prayer that you can pray that you know is always the will of God is when you're praying for a lost person to come to know Jesus. When you're praying for a lost person to say, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you can pray with confidence and faith, knowing this is the will of God. Jesus, You died for her. You died for him. I come before You, Lord. And you know, it's interesting because we know He's wanting to save everybody. And we know we're called to pray for people to come to know the Lord and to live lives that will draw them to Him by the Spirit working through us. And yet, in the way God has orchestrated things, He uses our prayer, wedded with His desire and His will, to influence people. And I believe the way it works is He moves to create situations for people to hear the gospel, for them to be confronted with the truth. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And in other words, open the door, lead them up to the door, and then they must, of their own volition, take that step of faith. But our prayers, I believe, help position people. I mentioned Brother James Nesbitt earlier, and I've heard him several times talk about an intercessory prayer group of women that one of them came to know about him. They wrote his name on a piece of paper and put it in a cup they kept on the table. And that cup was full of names that they were praying for. And they'd pull his name out of that cup and they'd pray for him to be saved. And over a period of time, he started coming under conviction of sin and finally till he yielded and gave his life to Jesus. You know, if you've come to know the Lord, only heaven knows how many people on their knees, out their mouth, brought your name before the Lord. Thank God for praying mamas and praying daddies and praying grandmothers and praying grandfathers. Thank God for friends who care enough to pray for you if you're lost. We don't need to have a church that makes people feel comfortable and all right the way they are. We love them where they are. We love them the way they are. But we love them too much to leave them there. So we want opportunities to be presented in God's way by the Holy Spirit's leadership, not grabbing them by the collar and slamming them against the wall like I heard one of my construction buddies tell me he tried to do when he first got saved. He went around his buddies and collared them, put them up against the wall and said, "You're going to get saved, and you're going to get saved right now." He had a zeal. I mean, he really wanted them to be saved. He's going to beat Jesus into them. But his zeal was not based on knowledge. And our zeal can run ahead of us sometime. That's the reason when we're living a peaceful and quietful life without all the disturbance and emotions, we can more easily discern if we're being led by the Spirit or kind of pushed by our own desires or sometimes even by the enemy to short-circuit or interfere with what God's trying to do in a situation. Sometimes we mess it up. But we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so this is just, this can be applied, and I'm finishing up. This can be applied so many ways, particularly for our nation when you talk about praying for those in authority. Well, I don't like them. All right, let's see. Therefore, I exhort that, first of all, prayers, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and all who are in authority that you like and agree with, that we may, and it doesn't say that. This is not optional. If it's easy to complain about what we don't like, but I wonder, are we praying as much as we're complaining? Are we interceding as much as we are criticizing? Are we groaning in the Spirit as much as we're griping? Just a little toe tap in there. But it's the Word, right? It's right. I mean, listen. Lost people act like lost people. Wicked people do wicked things. And so, we can't expect people who don't know the Lord to live and act as if they do. But we can pray that they'll come to know Him. And we can also vote for folks that are already saved. Just throw that in. Giving of thanks. I've talked about that on a previous Wednesday night. It's so important to have gratitude and thankfulness of heart. Okay. Say I show up at your house tomorrow. You open the door and I said, you know what? I just want to bless you today. Here, $100. Enjoy it. Use it ever how you want to. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. Next day, come back. You know what? I feel it again, $100. Really? Yes, yeah, take it. Just be blessed. Okay, thank you. Day 3, I come back, $100. You're kidding. No, for real. I just want to bless you. Day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, the whole month, every day, I'm showing up at your door. I give you a $100 bill, just wanting to bless you. And it's like, this is so awesome. Day 31, you're waiting to hear the doorknob. And I don't show up. Well, I wonder what happened. Where is he? Day 32. I don't come back. Well, I wonder what I did. I wonder what's going on here. I wonder if he's mad at me. Day 33, day 30. You know, then maybe I'll come back on day 40. You open the door. Well, I wonder where you've been. Where's my $100? It's so easy if we're not careful. God is so good to us. And God so showers us with blessing day in and day out. We can become entitled and we can become ungrateful. And all of a sudden, we're getting a little too big for our britches. And we start feeling, well, I wonder what's going on with the Lord. You know? That's where gratitude, being grateful, and no matter, on the good days, the bad days, the surplus, the deficit days, just the same, be grateful. I was able to wake up this morning. Thank you, Lord. Able to get up. Boy, a lot of people would love to be able to do that. To have a grateful heart. So a lot of this is just about getting things right in here. So we can make a difference out there. Amen? So, Lord, help us to this end. To be people who pray in this way. To create an atmosphere of quietness and peaceableness without unnecessary commotion and disturbance. To be steady in the Spirit and strong in the Spirit. And seeing people drawn to Jesus. To You, O Lord. Help us to this end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Mick, would you get the handheld mic there? I'm going to come around down here. And Tina, would you mind coming up? I know you're back from Asbury. Maybe we'll have time for maybe two or three people to share a testimony. Well, she's going to be sharing about Asbury. But if there's someone that you felt like the Lord, you just really did something special for you this past weekend. Let's see if we can get a couple of testimonies about that. We'll keep them 2 or 3 minutes, okay? And just focusing on what the Lord has done for you, okay? Like this past weekend. And you talked about Asbury, too.
Okay. Well, Vicki, I'm sure Vicki shared that she and I went to Asbury last Saturday. I'm not sure we were really prepared. It was 36 degrees. I don't think we knew we were going to stand in line for 9 hours. But we walked 1 mile to get to the end of the line. And It was really a great experience through the whole thing, even though it was hard to endure. Once we get a little closer, you know, we think, okay, we only got about 3 more hours. We get, you know, to the end of the side of the auditorium was, and we think, well, we've only got about 3 more hours. But we made really good friends. You know, everybody was in one accord. That was the biggest thing. You could just tell there was no, what church are you from? You know, where do you attend? None of that kind of stuff. It was, everybody was just friendly, peaceable. Do you want whatever I have to eat? You know, I'll hold your place in line while you go use the restroom, whatever you got to do. You know, and we made some really good friends that day that I think that we'll keep in touch with for a long time. But I think the thing that impacted me the most was when we were getting closer to where we could see the actual auditorium, which was actually 5 hours later. They had 2 huge jumbotrons set up out there, and there was probably at least 200 people out there on the lawn worshiping the Lord, which was just beautiful to see. I mean, everybody's just singing. Everybody in the line, you know, they're just they're praying over each other. They're speaking in tongues. They're falling out in the Spirit. I mean, and nobody's freaked out. They're not saying, you know. And it was just great. These kids, they've been in line all day. They're not fussing. They're not fighting. They're just playing ball. I look over there, and there's one lawn girl in the middle of this lawn, and she's got the most beautiful flags I've ever seen, and she's just out there worshiping the Lord, and it was the most beautiful thing. And I looked around, and, you know, the kids were playing, and we were worshiping with all these people on this lawn, and everybody just praying over each other. And I look at Vicky, and I just... I had to start weeping, and I said, you know, this is what heaven's going to be like. We're all in one accord. We're all in the same spirit. We're all in the same unity. There was such unity and peace and His presence. So even on the outside, and I thought, well, I can't imagine what it's going to be once we get inside. So we're out there, and we're 5 hours into it, and this guy comes up, and we turn around, and he goes, y'all need to get out of line, and you just need to go over here in the lawn and worship with your brothers and sisters, because you're not going to get in. And I thought to myself, he apparently doesn't know me very well, because I didn't stand here in line for 5 hours not to get in there. And besides that, we got to 1 o'clock in the morning. So, but Pastor Benny Hinn says, where there is light, there is bugs. So I think he was a bug. We bless him anyway. But 9 o'clock that night, we get in line at 11:30 that morning. 9 o'clock that night, we're finally about to get in. And honest to goodness, I could not feel my toes. It was so cold. I had, you know, and we finally get in there, and it's awesome. There is all these young people just worshiping the Lord. And I'll just have to tell you, I don't have just like this amazing testimony to give you about the worship service. I mean, it was an old auditorium, uncomfortable chairs, but the presence of the Lord was there. You know, His Spirit was there. And, you know, I told the Lord as I'm standing there, because, you know, they tell you when you're going to a revival, don't have all these preconceived ideas of what it's supposed to be like. And that's kind of hard not to. But I go in there, and I'm not really feeling anything. You know, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what this is. So I just said, Lord, you know, I can feel your presence, and it's amazing worshiping with all these children, you know, these young generation. And I'm so thankful that you're touching these young people, Lord, but don't pass me by. You know, Lord, if I have to hang on to their tailcoats, I want to go with them. You know, I want to be chasing after you with these young kids. And so it was a peaceful, it was unity. And I'm like, Lord, just whatever it is that I'm supposed to receive here and take back, just let me receive that. But I didn't have, you know, those of us that are in the charismatic church, we've been into some pretty good services. So, you know, it wasn't like it was just really overwhelming to me. But His presence was there, His unity and the peace of God was very evident, and it was very heavy. And so I looked at Vicky this past Sunday, and I said, well, we didn't know what we received in Asbury, but I think this past Sunday, I think it was it. You know, I can't get past what happened Sunday. I don't think I have the words to articulate what happened Sunday. What happened was the three songs that we just sang tonight. Heaven came down. Heaven is so close right now. His presence is, it's just so easy to tap into His presence right now. As soon as I came back in here tonight and started worshiping, it's just swept wave after wave. You know, He was thick all around us, just like we sang. It was like walking in molasses up here in the altar. I don't know if y'all came up here or not, but His presence was so thick. I haven't felt that in a long time. And that's what I've been praying for, you know. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Take me deeper, Lord. Let me be a firebrand in Your hand. And that's what I pray for this church. Just let this be a place that Your Spirit can abide, Lord. What happened Sunday, please don't let it lift. Don't let it lift. Don't let it leave. Let it stay. So, I don't know what all He's doing, but I know it's good.
Andrew, come on up. When she's talking, woo, let's just worship a few moments before we go. Just let the Lord wash over you. Sister Dorothea, bless your heart. Her precious husband went home to be with Jesus. Just, I invite you to come. We just stand up here and worship a few minutes. We're not trying to make anything happen, but we just position our hearts to the Lord. Just let Him touch you. If you need healing in your body, just come during this worship. Just receive the touch from the Lord. Whatever you need, whatever it is, just come before Him. Quieten your heart and let the Lord touch you. Let's just stand together. And I invite you, some of you, to come. If you want to come kneel at the altar, you want to come stand, draw close. Sometimes just drawing together like this, Tina mentioned a few times about being in one accord and one unity. And we'll just tighten our circle a bit. And you're fine where you are if you want to just pray where you are. Or, you know, no pressure. Just do what you're led to do. But feel free to come up if you're so inclined. And let's just press in for a few moments before we go home tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we just bless what You're doing. We thank You for Your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank You. Just come and lay our hearts before You tonight, Lord. Have Your way, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for when Your wells spring up, Your river flows. Thank You for the refreshing, for the cleansing, for the renewing, Lord. We thank You for that tonight. Bless Your name, O Lord. Before we go, if you wouldn't mind, those of you that are close enough and don't mind doing, just get with a little circle, three or four people, and just pray blessings over one another for a moment or two. We need each other. We all can receive from each other. And just share blessings, pray blessings, speak blessings.